Hey, what's up, everybody? Brennan here from Pass the Controller, and today is a special episode on the feed. This is our Video Game Cocktail Hour panel from PAX East 2024. This was recorded live in the panel room during the panel, so the audio might be a little weird at times. You might get some feedback from the audience in there, some other, you know, silly things just from being a live recording. But I hope you enjoy it. It has an amazing cast. If you do want to see the video version, that is also available on our YouTube channel. So just look for that over on YouTube. And I hope you enjoy. Welcome, everybody.
Hey!
Who came here expecting to drink? Because you are not drinking tonight.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry if you thought that was part of the panel. All right, we're all staying. Okay, cool. Welcome to Video Game Cocktail Hour, sipping our favorite games. A quick rundown of what the panel's going to be. We're going to talk about some favorite games from these amazing folks, and then we're going to talk about the drinks we made to go with them. Some intros to start?
Sure. Yeah. Hey, what up, y'all? It's your motherfucking boy coming to you. Coming to you live. Yeah, gang. Yeah. My people's out here, you know what I'm saying? Y'all came through. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Michael Haim. I do a bunch of shit nowadays. So long time with GameSpot, but I freelance now, and I'm just happy to be here with so many of my good friends.
Yeah.
I now have to follow that up. I am Kate Sanchez. I'm editor-in-chief of Boat Wido. Okay. Thank you for being kind. Yeah, that's me. I write, I run a website. I do those things.
Yeah. Good things. Also joining.
Are we skipping you?
Who cares about me?
I do.
All right. I'm Brennan Groom. I don't know.
Yeah! Pass that controller, baby.
Stop this. Pass the controller. You're at the panel. I made all these drinks. I got all of them drunk last night.
Crucially, I did not get drunk.
Ken did not get drunk.
Hi, I'm Kenneth Shepard. I am a writer all over the internet, primarily at Kotaku right now. I also worked at Fanbyte and seen on IGN, Polygon, and other places. And I also co-host a retrospective podcast called Normandy FM with that guy over there.
Yeah!
Where we do a book club for various video game series, including Mass Effect, Dragon Age, Jade Empire, The Last of Us, Cyberpunk 2077, Final Fantasy X, and now Nier.
All right.
That's me.
Nice. Hello, I'm Jenny Windham. I am one of the organizers for Wholesome Games, and I'm the senior influencer manager at Kepler Interactive. And I also have a podcast that's kind of like a book club for games called Geeks and Grounds, and we also play a game every month and talk about it as a community.
I am Jesse Vitelli. My voice is shot because I've been screaming at everyone else's panels, so please bear with me. If you want to find me, do not contact me.
So to start, to preface, before we get into it, you could be enjoying yourself better while you're playing games. I believe that. This is going to help you do that. Even if you don't have experience making drinks, some of these will be a little more complex, some of them will be a little easier, but there's ways to amplify your entertainment, and I think this is one of those ways. We're going to start with Ken's drink, which is a mocktail.
Yeah, so should we talk about the drink first or is it a game first?
Whatever you want to do. It's your 10 minutes.
Oh, God, okay.
You can talk about something else. I don't care.
Let me tell you all about...
Oh, no.
No. Okay. I asked Bren to make a drink about 2021's Before Your Eyes by Goodbye World Games. And I don't know if y'all know this. Y'all might have some opinions about what the game of the year was in 2021, but I want to tell you now that if it's not Before Your Eyes, then you're wrong. So to kind of give you the rundown of the game, it's a eye tracking adventure game that basically tracks every time you blink, and every time you blink, a scene skips, and you're kind of watching this character named Benny, as the name of the drink implies. You're kind of watching his entire life play out, and every time you blink, you kind of skip past some precious memory that might have seemed benign at the time it was happening in his life, but suddenly has a lot more weight because it just can be gone in the blink of an eye. And so while the initial, I think, feeling I had when I first played the game was like there was this resistance and this frustration, like, no, I can keep my eyes open as long as I need to see the scene, but then, you know, the human body is not built to do that. So it becomes a thing where, like, you're gradually you're noticing that everything's skipping a little bit faster because you're losing the strength in your eyes to keep going and just keep resisting and trying to see everything unfold. The game, crucially, will make sure you see everything that's important to actually comprehend the game. It is, initially, that was the sort of relationship I had with it, which was very antagonistic. Like, no, I can beat this game that is pushing my body to its limits. But then, there's basically a point in the game where you're like, okay, no, we have to go see all that again. Something's amiss here. You've been hiding something from me, basically. And then it kind of gets into, without spoiling it, because I think everyone in here should go play this game because it is only 90 minutes long.
Yes.
And it is well worth your time. Like, just, you know, make a... Anytime you could have spent, like, watching a movie, play Before You Rise instead. It will enrich your life greatly. Again, like, without spoiling too much, it kind of gets into... My takeaway from the game is there's a sort of authorship that I think we all like to have about our lives and, like, the sort of narrative that we play out. A microcosm of that is, like, social media. Like, we only show people the highlights and the good stuff. We don't ever really get into all the bad stuff and all of the things that we're maybe ashamed of or wish had gone differently. And Before Your Eyes is very much about, you see this person at the end of their life kind of having to recount everything, giving this very, like, sterilized, cleaned-up version of events, and then kind of having to reckon with, like, oh, you know, the things that I wanted to happen did not go down the way I wanted them to. And, you know, dealing with all the shame and the regret and getting past that to getting to realizing that, you know, life is still worth living. There are, like, through all the bad, there is still all this good to take away, even if it didn't last as long as you wanted to. Even if those bright lights were fewer and farther between than you would have liked, each of those moments is worth getting to. And so that's why Before Your Eyes has stuck with me. Even, you know, again, it's 90 minutes long, but I think I've thought about it a dozen times more than that over the years. And I've been advocating for it for almost 3 years now, and I'm here to do it in front of all you now. It's on Steam. It's on mobile now. That weird Netflix thing that nobody plays. If you don't need a webcam to play it, but it's very much enhanced by that, I think, because, you know, otherwise you can just, like, click through it when you're done. And it's like, that's not the point.
Yeah.
Everyone should play Game of the Year 2021.
100%.
Before you're
on. And now you can drink it.
And now you can drink it. So... A game that physically tests your eyes is probably a good drink, a good game to not drink alcohol with, even though when I played it for the first time, I drank like 4 old fashions, and I was a puddle, not from being drunk, from crying, probably from being drunk too.
You might want to get drunk after, like, just to process.
100%. 100%.
So Brandon, you said he was 4 old fashions deep when you played this game.
Yes.
Does that like amplifies how much you was crying after this? Because this shit's mad emotional.
So. Probably. I mean, I get emotional when I have one drink.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so 4 old fashions plus a game that is like ripping my heart out.
Yeah.
It's
What's the inspiration behind the ingredients for this one though?
So, for the audience here, none of them knew what I was making. I told them to just give me. If you like a flavor or you like a specific spirit or you don't like something, just give me those things and I'm going to go to work. And if you want to throw me a sentence or two about why Before Hours means something to you or whatever you want to say. And I took that and it was like, okay, well, Ken doesn't drink, so we're going mocktail here, of course. But some of Ken's favorite flavors are just, strawberry, banana, apple. So I was like, I'm going to make sure that this is featuring all of those main fruits. And part of this was one of the harder ones to like kind of make the drink after or make it like tie into the game the way that I would have done with alcohol. So the garnish here is kind of part of that for me, which is you spend a lot of time in that game in a boat. So the strawberry pocky is like the oars.
Mm.
Like that's what that is. But also you don't drink. If you did, I probably would have made maybe a champagne or sparkling cocktail. That's why I use sparkling cider for you, because it's like, I want that little bit of bubble, that little bit of pop to celebrate what is an emotional game, a sad game, but at the end of the day, struggling and grappling with Benny's life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that drink is,
Yeah, so and one thing, like, I don't know if we talked about this, but like, it also has like a bit of a like pulp to it. I guess that's the word that I would use.
Yeah,
like,
yes, yeah, yeah.
Which typically I'm not usually a pulp person, but then when I got big brained about it and I was like, oh, you know, there's all the sweetness to it because it's like primarily like a fruit drink.
Yeah.
And then you got the pulp, which is like, you know, those hard to swallow things that yeah. characters are going through and like reflecting on. And I was like, oh, big brain, like artistry here with the drink. So,
yeah.
None of that. The other part of it for you, too, was we all need to make sure Ken doesn't drink fucking soda anymore. So yes. This was a no soda drink.
Mm.
Try to get Ken to go outside of soda. Mm-hmm. Make something. It's still sweet. You're mm-hmm. going to get that sugar. It's yep. natural sugar from the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna change you.
All right.
You're perfect, except for that. I guess we can move on to the next drink.
Play the game.
Definitely. But is anyone here played Before Your Eyes? Please, hands. I need hands here.
That is not enough fucking
hands. Damn,
ridiculous.
That's cool.
That is not enough. I need you to get on your gamer laptop when you get home and you download that shit. It's like $10.
Get on Netflix. You can play it on your phone.
That
your
too.
Phone has the camera. It's free if
yes.
you have Netflix.
Stop listening to us. Play it right now. You'll be almost done with the game.
I want this whole panel playing Before Your Eyes right now.
Right now. Everyone, we're going to cry together.
Before
can you
your
put
thoughts.
It on your laptop right now on the screen?
I mean, I can.
Hell yeah.
I can do that. Next up is the lovely Jennifer Windham. If you want to talk about In Stars and Tequila.
In Stars and Tequila is inspired by a game that I played November of last year, so very, very late last year, called In Stars and Time. It's by Insert Disc 5. It is an astounding turn-based RPG meets time loop game. If you love games like Undertale, Final Fantasy, if you love found family stories, this is, I cannot say highly enough, like this is the game you need to play. When I started it, I really loved the charming art style. It blends this lovely sort of grayscale pixel art with some really lovely done just portrait animations that are hand-drawn. But as you go into the game, you are essentially a journeying group of heroes that have stumbled into one another and become this like group of comrades. And you're actually at the end of the game at the start. There's this evil king who has frozen the world, and you are at the castle. You're about ready to defeat the king and save the world, when all of a sudden something goes awry, and you get pulled back 3 days in time, or like 1 day in time, actually. So your journey is as one sole party member of this group, who is the only one who knows you keep getting pulled back in time right before you beat the king, is figuring out how you need to break this loop. And part of figuring out how is each loop trying something different, getting to know your party members a little differently, maybe experimenting with some of the items that you use, and the way that it just brings the time loop without feeling grindy is wonderful. And I will say this is probably one of the strongest character journeys I've experienced in a long time. You will, from the jump, love every single one of your party members. You've got a gremlin snack goblin who's making sure your party's stocked with snacks when you go out on your journey. You have sort of a more caretaker, motherly, scholarly figure. And you, as this protagonist, you've got a lot of baggage to work through. And so as you're getting to know each of your party members, you're also getting to know yourself and why perhaps you're stuck in this loop. I just can't speak highly enough of this game. I think anyone who loves time loop, who loves mysteries, who loves digging into lore and finding secrets and having charming characters that you will just feel invested in and you want to know the end of their journey all the way through, this is absolutely the game you need to play. It's really good.
It's a really good time.
You will laugh. You will cry. I laughed and cried sometimes simultaneously. It was great.
And now you can drink this game.
Yes, you can drink it. So in making this drink, part of the inspiration I took was obviously the color, which you'll see in a moment on the video. And I think I heard someone say, oh, no sound. It didn't make sense to hear all of that while we're all talking, so that's just the visual aspect. Those videos will be available later if you do want to watch them with the audio. The recipes will all be online as well afterwards. There's 100 copies of recipe cards here, so if you want a recipe card after, they're up here at the end of the panel. But with this drink, I wanted to really capture, like, part of the inspiration was, okay, it's a very visually impressive. It is impressive, but it's a very visually striking game. It's monochrome. You get black, white, gray. So I wanted to mimic that, which you can't see super well in that video right now, but it's a white cocktail, and the garnish is a couple of blackberries, which will give that just back and forth between the two colors. But more importantly, one of the things Jenny mentioned when they gave me their what would they like, et cetera, was, aside from a lot of the stuff you brought up about the game, they had mentioned, oh, there's a lot of snack breaks. I'm like, okay, well, then this garnish is something I want you to eat. Like, it's an edible garnish. It's, we're not muddling something. We're not sticking a leaf in there. It's, here's a couple of blackberries that thematically make sense, but also get a nice little snack at the end. You get a little snack break, so.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I love a refreshing drink, and so this one was really interesting because not only was it, like, refreshing, but there was a certain weight to it, kind of like the game. Again, just big brain. the game itself is so, like, there are silly moments there. You'll laugh, but at its core, again, it's just a really sentimental journey. So I thought you captured it very, very well.
The thing I really liked about this drink, too, is, like, yo, when I smell tequila, yeah, you could smell tequila. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is strong. But the drink itself, when we were trying it last night, is you smell, it smells like it's going to taste strong, but when you actually drink it, I think there's a nice balance between all the different ingredients, and so it was very impressive in that regard, because yo, tequila make me want to yak though, but I could drink a whole glass of that though. That shit held me down.
Like, I think that one, like, that was the one out of everything we had last night where I was like, I want to keep coming back. Like, this is one that I just want to keep drinking and drinking. I'm like, man, I want to make a batch cocktail of this. And which I guess, like, goes to the loop effect, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it, if you need a big brain, it's crazy. So I like tequila, but tequila is one of those, like, if you do tequila wrong, you have done tequila wrong. This was tequila done right. And, like, yeah, I would have drank a whole pitcher.
I don't want to brag. I don't make a bad drink. I will not make a bad drink. If
no,
I make
flex
a bad drink,
on them.
If I make a bad drink, I will not give it to you. I'll drink it, but that's not what we're doing here.
Quick question though, like, so in making all these drinks, how many iterations were there for each one? Like, if you, when you was trying to make this, you taste tested it, like, yo, shit is ass, fuck out of here.
So
have to, like, redo it.
I don't want to spoil the last drink, so don't talk about Jesse's drink yet.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Okay.
I worked in restaurants for a long time.
Ooh, flex on them.
So I'm very good at making drinks. Like, I like, over a decade, I've done that in my past. So I think I'm really good at just kind of doing it.
Yeah. It's a vibes thing, right?
The only ones that changed were Jesse's, but that was not because the original drink was not good. It was because Jesse is a good goblin, the right kind of goblin.
That's right.
We needed to do right by the champion of the little sickos and little freakos.
I just want to say, nothing about the little freakos. We can get to that later. I went over to Brendan's house a couple days ago, and he was like, oh, I'll make you a cocktail. And he was like, what do you want? I'm like, gin. Let's do a gin cocktail. This man, within like a minute and a half, was like muddling 6 different things, pulled out like honey syrup, and made one of the most fantastic cocktails I've ever had, just winging it. So you're just good at this.
Yeah.
Not to, like, keep glazing you, but, like, that's it.
So I do have a question. What kind of, like, what was the brand of tequila that you used for this? Because I know a lot of them, like, tequila very specifically, you can taste the brand very differently.
Yeah. So this one is probably something that you can't really get right now because it's kind of a newer tequila. It's called Onda.
Okay.
But for that list of ingredients, you could use, like, don't buy a shitty tequila. Listen, like,
never buy a shitty tequila.
If you buy shitty ingredients, what you make is going to be shitty.
Yeah.
Like, can you dress some stuff up? Yes. But, like, ultimately, whatever you're putting in the glass is what it's going to taste like. Do you have to buy the most expensive shit? Absolutely not, especially in a cocktail. Don't do that. That's not how to make a good drink. That's a waste of a good spirit. But you can, I know what a lot of stuff tastes like, so I know what to pull, what to grab. If you're out there and you're trying to make these drinks or experiment, like, pick the flavors you like. Start simple, start easy. You can absolutely, like, You like margaritas, you want to play around with that, pick a fruit that you like and add that to it and mess around with that. Figure out the volumes of how much strawberry you need to put in there to make it taste good, or whatever it is you're trying to figure out. Because one, it's really fun to get drunk and make drinks and fuck around with recipes. And two, you'll figure that balance out. And once you start, if that's what you want to do, I mean, you can just put a lot of good shit in a glass and enjoy yourself too. But if you want to go that route of experimentation, part of why I love doing this is two things. One, I'm a super creative person, not like a flex, just like I'm a creative person. I like to express myself in a bunch of different ways, and this is a form of creative expression. And the beauty of doing this in this way is that, especially like when Jesse was over, we weren't even supposed to be at my house. It was Wednesday night, and before we were leaving, I was like, Alex was there too. Shout out Alex Fanning. Where's Alex Fanning? And I saw you in Aries. I was like, oh, you guys want anything before we go? And Jesse was like, yeah, I'll get a drink. And being able to, like, what do you want? Gin. Okay, cool. Shut up. I got it. Let's fuck around.
You tell me to shut up.
And be able to just hand him something, feeling confident, but then see the real response real time. It's like, he's not going to lie. I'm going to see it in his face if he lies. So that, like, immediate response, like, you make a podcast, you do a panel. I mean, panel is an immediate response, but you do something, you put it out into the world, you don't get that, like, quick, immediate feedback. This is, like, we're one-on-one right now. I see you.
I can't lie to you.
You can't lie to me.
Yeah. I'd be, like, drinking this shit, like, yo,
that
this
first
so
drink,
good,
like,
man.
Your face.
And maybe that's a high that I like to chase. I don't know. But it's just a good, it's, like, a very, to me, it's, like, a very, we have a connection when I do that. Like, we get the bond over that. What are we talking about? I don't know what's going on.
No, I like genuinely when it comes to like making drinks, it's very similar to cooking. Like I don't make good drinks, but I cook and yeah. I love cooking and barbecuing, specifically smoking meats and making meats, because I like feeding people and they can't lie to you when they take that first bite. Like you can tell if something is off or if you have changed someone's life, and that is like just a very good feeling because it's almost like eating things and drinking things and like making them for people, it's a very communal act, and it is an act that really connects you to the people around you. And I think that like that is something that we kind of take for granted. And I think specifically with making drinks, we never talk about enough. Like I think we'll talk about it with baking or cooking, but I don't think we talk about it in the same way when it comes to crafting cocktails.
Yeah.
I think that it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, 100%. So what you're saying is you're gonna cook for all of us.
Oh hell yeah!
Oh, yeah.
I'll just get everyone drunk.
Oh yeah, I'll smoke. I'll smoke a big ass brisket.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So that'll bring us over to, I think, a favorite of last night, which was one Michael Hyams drink.
Oh my gosh.
Yo,
the ambrosia.
Fire. Yeah, Deus Ex is one of the most formative games to me, and this is, okay, I'm gonna start with this. This is what I DM'd Brendan when he was asking me about what game I wanted to choose and why. So I said, quote, we are headed for a dark dystopian future if we aren't already in it. I need a drink to hold me down through these rough times ahead. One that both represents a world plagued by futuristic tech, but also one that for those struggling in the streets of Hell's Kitchen. Besides the actual in-game options for drinks, which are terrible, because in this game you can actually like get faded. It is, they only have 40s. Like a 40 will hold me down for sure. You know what I'm saying? Listen, a 40 of OE, that's just different. And then there's like alcohol, whatever. There's bars you go to, but there's never really the sense of like that bar culture in the game. It's like an old game, whatever. But when I thought about this game, I think that it's every time I replay Deus Ex, I learn something new about it. And as we go through these, like as the world changes, a lot of the things in Deus Ex get stronger and stronger, or more pertinent, I guess you could say. So I think matching this game with a drink would be like you can get creative, because I know Brendan thinks creatively when it comes to these kinds of things. And I was so impressed with the drink that he made, because it goes kind of deep. Like it's just like, oh, it's Deus Ex. All right, I'm gonna do some futuristic type shit. So ambrosia is the vaccine that everyone is seeking in the game. It's like this green gel type shit. And then this, when I saw the drink itself, it looks like the vaccine ambrosia that is in the game. So like, there's this extra layer that is actually themed behind the game, and I love that about it. Also, this shit was fire, you know what I'm saying? So a couple things about it is, one, I love pineapple juice. Two, coconut water. I've been drinking that shit since I was a kid. And so dark rum, I don't know. I don't think I told you that I prefer rum-based drinks.
You did not.
I did, yeah.
All of those things you just said, you did not tell me. The only thing you said was that paragraph that you read, and I think I cooked. I think I cooked, right?
Yeah, so you was on point for this entire thing. But it was... this is a really good drink, and the color that you create with the blue curacao is also, you know, with the pineapple juice, created that nice effect too. You had it in a really nice bottle. I was like, damn, dog, what is this? This shit looks amazing. It tasted amazing too. Maybe one of the things I would give a little feedback on is...
Ooh. Give me.
It could be...
Fight. No. Oh. Out of the way.
Yo, I'm about to fuck this fool up. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of sourness, a lot of tartness that comes from the pineapple, or like from everything else. I think the lime juice as well. Maybe a little bit more sweetness, so like maybe a pump or two of simple syrup.
Okay.
That would bring it all together. But man, that's... We gave the shit to Cam Hawkins. Oh, that fool was donezo. He was like, no, I'm drinking this shit all night.
And I think He took the bottle.
I'm like, bro, that's my drink.
Yes.
What are you doing? He's like, no, this is mine. I'm like, all right. You've had a rough day, dog. That's all you. But no, this is a beautiful drink. It looks beautiful because I think one of the things that some people might overlook when it comes to making specialty cocktails is that the visual experience is also part of the experience. Like you... A drink will taste great. A drink can taste great, but when you receive that, it's like, oh shit, yo, that's crazy. Why do you think like mixologists do like all kinds of crazy shit with like smoke and all that other stuff? There's something exciting about getting something that looks very crafted and curated. So when I got this drink, I'm like, oh, this, you called it ambrosia. It looks like it, and it tastes great. This is a great example of just how creative Brendan is with this sort of thing. And we watched this fool on Discord making all kinds of drinks and shit. So it's really nice to see that you took this idea, ran with it, and kind of like really honestly like took it seriously. So
yeah.
it was a beautiful thing to see. But yeah, Deus Ex is, if y'all haven't played it, it's an old game at this point. So I don't really expect anyone's like, yo, you got to boot up like an old-ass PC game, install these mods and shit. But the thing about Deus Ex is that, again, like I said, it is a timeless sort of game that kind of each time you play it, and as I grew up as an adult and experienced new things, like, fuck, now I gotta pay rent. Shit, now I work for a corporation. Damn, there's a pandemic. Cops is beating everyone in the streets and shit. These are all themes that are in this game. This game was made in 2000 before War on Terror, before, I mean, there's always been a police state, right? But before, like, the police state was, like, very, very apparent, surveillance and shit like that. This game was asking those questions way back in 2000 when this game came out. So it is really, I think it's a really important piece of media. And if you played it back in the day and have replayed it over the years, you'll know what I'm talking about. But also, this drink is fucking fire, you know what I'm saying? So I really like what you did with marrying the theme of the game with this tasty cocktail.
I'm convinced that your feedback wasn't actual feedback. You just want me to make you another ambrosia.
Just make it sweeter.
Just like a little bit.
Make it a little bit sweeter. But no, this shit was good, man. You know what I'm saying?
So to go back to what you had asked earlier, where did I make multiple versions of these drinks? Yours I actually did. For two reasons. One, I wanted to make sure this needed to be a Michael Hyam-ass drink. Oh, like, this is what this needed to be.
Held me down.
And initially, I was fucking around with ube, and I was trying to incorporate that. But you and I bonded before over bourbon and talking about scotch and stuff. Yeah. So I was like, I really wanted to go that angle, but I also wanted to, when exploring all of the drinks for everybody, I wanted to make sure that the champion spirit was different in all of them, so that way some people don't like whiskey, some people don't like gin, whatever it may be, like maybe there's something here for you, hopefully there's something here for you. Mm-hmm. So that's where I landed on rum with you, because the other part of this that made it a little difficult for me is I have not played Deus Ex.
Yeah.
I've watched you play Deus Ex.
Yeah, you did.
I have not played it though, so I was digging into like, how can I capture Deus Ex and like what can I do? And for all these drinks, and I make a lot of drinks for other games, videos on YouTube, go watch that. When I'm doing that stuff, like I always pick just however I'm feeling it. If I'm trying to like be very specific about something to tie it to the game, or broad strokes, or whatever it may be, and for a game, and I'm always doing it for games that I've played or have an attachment to. With Deus Ex, I don't know what the fuck this game is, other than watching you play it and then looking at YouTube videos and whatever to get kind of some inspiration. And where I landed was in the middle of, I want to make sure I make a good drink that I think, I wanted to make sure I make good drinks that all of you enjoyed for you personally. I don't give a fuck if the rest of you like the drinks. I just wanted to make sure that the person that the drink was for liked the drink. So that was that angle. But the other side of it was landing on like where to be. And when I pivoted off bourbon, it was because, going back to the thing you sent me beforehand, which was, you know, the shitty drinks there, you know, Hell's Kitchen, it's, you know, it's like, the world sucks now, so this is a good drink to drink now, too.
Yeah.
But it's like all this shitty shit, you're in this urban fucking chaos.
Yeah.
Let's take a little island trip, you know what I mean? This is a getaway in a glass. Like, that was the, and it's also like, it has those tropical themes, but it also is ambrosia. That's what everyone's trying to get. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it was like all these layers of trying to incorporate how you felt about the game.
Yeah.
So I hope it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Man, if you somehow incorporated ube into this, like, one, Deus Ex got no Filipinos in it, so it's like you don't gotta go that far, but I do appreciate it. You should make me something with ube in it, because that shit would probably be fire as well.
When are you leaving tomorrow?
I'm leaving Monday, dog. You got time. All right,
I'll figure something out.
You got time. You got Boston native here, you know what I'm saying? One other thing I will say is that, listen, you could have made an Incredible Hulk and called it Ambrosia, and I'm like, yo, that is on point. You know what I'm saying? Fucking Henny and Hypnotic. That shit will hold you down, because I was thinking about the theme of, y'all laughing way too hard. Y'all know.
No, I tasted that when you said it. I was like, God damn.
Y'all did some nasty
memories
shit.
Came back, and it was not good.
Yeah, because like, as I said, one of the things is I was thinking about is, what is a drink that is simple, cheap, because throughout Deus Ex and in that setting, it's like everyone's poor or like houseless and shit. So, and everyone's like trying to forget their problems. So something simple and cheap and easy. So if you use like plastic bottle, if you use like plastic bottle rum, I want to taste what that would be like.
All right.
Plastic bottle vodka too. Like, that's just crazy. You could put that in there.
There are times and places for the right thing.
Yeah, facts. So all you need to make like a brokey version of this.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll drink all that shit.
I'm taking that idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a good time to pivot. Anyone else? Yep. We've been dominating.
No, it's been fascinating. I've been loving every moment of this. I want the brokey version of this.
Okay, all right.
I will say, I don't know, this is me maybe, again, overreaching, but I'm like, the pineapple garnish looks kind of like the logo a little bit with those
cheese. Yes. 100%
what I was going for, like, totally. Yes. I'm big brain.
Was that intentional?
No.
I'm trying to get it.
But now that Jenny mentioned it, like,
some of the stuff that you've all said is like big brain stuff. I'm like, yeah, definitely. That's what I was doing, 100%.
Just agree with us.
That's crazy.
So I think that's a good time to move on.
Hey.
Which brings us to Kate's drink, which I think it might be my favorite. I think this is my favorite.
Yeah, so I mean, we all know who Lara Croft is. We all know what Tomb Raider is. So I'm going to tell you why she is my favorite video game heroine of all time, and why this is the game that is why I'm here. So my cousins had video games. There was like one console in one house, and we all went to it and played like Mortal Kombat and stuff like that, but I was the youngest. Like, all of my cousins are at least 5 to 6 years older than me, if not more. So it wasn't my game. It was a lot of watching them play. It was a lot of getting my ass beat by them. And then my mom realized that I really liked video games, and at this time I was in a big Indiana Jones phase, and I really liked watching archaeology shows with my dad. and she saw an ad for Tomb Raider 2, like, in the store somewhere, and she saved up for an entire year, because we grew up really, 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 really poor, and she saved up for an entire year. Christmas comes, I have the original PlayStation and Tomb Raider 1 and 2. And those games changed my life. Like, they were my games. I got to play that story. And when you talk to her now and you ask her why she did that, she was like, well, you loved Indiana Jones, but I didn't want you to play a guy. She's like, I wanted you to see yourself. And so she loved Lara just by seeing her. And that kind of, like, put a whole trajectory on, like, what I liked. Like, I replayed those games over and over and over. And there was a brashness about Lara that just felt good. Because, like, I think being a woman of color, being a brown woman specifically, there's a lot of, like, you need to dial yourself down. You need to not be direct. You need to deal with stuff people are doing. You have to make yourself smaller. And Lara never made herself small. She had two big-ass guns, and she'd kick you in your chest. And that is what mattered. And that was something to me that, like, if I could be like her, I could actually do something more. And so the reason I said the originals is because that's what got me into it. And I think that there is, like, that version of Lara for me isn't only iconic, but she really shaped a lot of what I think it means to be a woman and to be a woman in a position where, like, you do not ask anybody for anything. They come ask you for things, and you tell them you're doing it for sport. And so I gave that to Brennan, and the other thing is I'm a whiskey drinker, I'm a bourbon drinker, and now, like, I've been thinking about the drink since we had it, and very specifically, it always makes me feel really cool when we order drinks and my drinks gets given to a guy at the table, because they're like, oh yeah, that, like, that Centauri neat, that's going to that person, that old fashioned, that's going to that person. No, it's mine. But that's very Lara. Like, Lara is going to be a scotch drinker, a whiskey drinker. She's going to be in your face and unapologetic and drink you under the table. And I think for me, whiskey is a drink and bourbon is a drink, especially Southern bourbon. That's that type of fire. So I think that was, I knew immediately I wanted to be Tomb Raider. And I thought I'd be a little basic if I went with a whiskey or a bourbon, but I was like, no, that's me. But what you did with this drink, very specifically, is you made it a spice level that, like, kicked me in my chest, like Lara would. And it's interesting, because, like, I'm from Texas. It's a big part of who I am. I'm specifically Tejana, so it's, like, a Mexican-American whose, like, family has always been in Texas, so, like, we are indigenous to that land. And for me, like, we get spicy drinks all the time, but none of them, like, sit. They don't sit in your mouth and you're like, oh, I feel that afterwards. He made it a level of brown people spicy that was, like, hella interesting. Like, it floored me, but it was that aggressive and brash nature. And to tie it all back, because I know I said that, like, Lara's why I'm here and Tomb Raider's why I'm here, I actually got into university for classical archaeology. That was my original major. And then I ended up going and doing undergrad and PhD in religious studies, Middle Eastern studies, but it was a lot of, like, learning about other cultures, learning different languages, and, like, that core, like, I wasn't doing archaeology like Lara did, but I was still had the investment in learning about people who aren't me and trying to find connections between that. And then now I love video games and I do stuff in the games industry, and that's really, really important to me. And I would not be here if my mom hadn't been like, oh, that's Indiana Jones, but a girl. And that is why I'm here. And I think more people should have female role models where they feel like I don't have to make myself small. Mm-hmm. I can be loud and I can get angry and I can assert my boundaries, and you don't have to apologize for that. Like, I don't think Lara has ever said the word sorry, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, this shit was spicy, though.
It was spicy.
Yeah.
Oh, good,
no. Spicy still tasted in the back of my throat. It's
yeah,
like very, very spicy.
I still taste it to this day. I mean, it was yesterday, but the thing about spicy drinks is, like, I eat spicy food all the time, but there's something about a spicy drink that, A.O., like, coats your entire mouth, and, like, you could feel it in your throat, A.O., and it's a different experience because it's more painful in that way. But I think, not just the flavors though, the experience of having a spicy drink is, it's like a sensation that you just don't get or even expect from a mixed drink. And I know there's a lot of other drinks and recipes that incorporate muddling jalapenos or even just like straight up like spicy liquor that's already been like distilled with spice in it. It's a special experience, but also, goddamn, that shit was strong. Not in the alcohol sense, but in the spicy sense.
I only tasted each of these like with white one sip. That was the one I needed to chase her for. So I was like glad that I still had a little bit of mine left. I was like, all right.
Was it uncomfortable spice?
No.
Oh, it was delicious.
No, it was delicious. All
right, okay, all right.
No, it was a delicious spice.
We finished it.
You can't use me as like a barometer for how if anything is too much because I don't drink at all. So
no, I know, but like Chaim and Jesse were like, oh no, where's spice?
Whoa. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying,
crybaby.
It's a good dress.
Well, so the funny thing is, me and Jenny had spicy margaritas today, and I was like, where's the spice?
This is just
the strawberry margarita. But that's usually what happens. It's kind of like you have to get the flavors right, and either you go too heavy-handed with the jalapeno, or you don't use enough of it, and so you don't actually get the flavor combination of everything. And I think with this drink specifically, like, yeah, it coated your whole mouth, but you still felt the kick from the bourbon. Mm. Yeah. And that was the important part, is that it didn't die down any of the other flavors. In a way, it tasted like one of the best spicy palomas that I've had, but with bourbon.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What I loved about this drink in particular, like, I think every other drink here, if I wanted to, like, chug it, I probably could. This drink is, like, you will savor me.
Yeah.
You will take it sip by sip. And I thought that I really, really loved it.
Yeah.
Actually, that was when it hurt, when I killed the bottle before we left. That was when it hurt. I was like, that was a mistake.
When we were leaving, because everyone else apparently couldn't handle this drink, there was a lot of this left. And I was like, Kate, it is your drink. And that bottle did not leave the room full. So one of the things about this drink when I was making it, this is another one that I only made one time. I came up with the recipe the one time, but I noodled on this one for a while because, like, obviously Tomb Raider, Lara Croft, iconic. Obviously Kate, iconic. But with this one, like, I even kind of unknowingly, I kind of peeled apart little things from everybody in their cocktails, like whether I was thinking about it or not. But with Kate, I went on this trying to find the angle of how I wanted to do a Lara Croft drink, do a Tomb Raider drink, and part of that game, obviously, you're spanning multiple countries, you're multiple continents, so I wanted to pick one in that first game and kind of hone in on it, so I ended with Egypt, and with that, I took the fig, so that's why the fig syrup's here, which I thought was super unique to pair with all these other ingredients, and then the rest of the drink, I was like, we're going to fucking Texas. Like, I was like, we're going all Kate on this drink. And that's why, like, you can make this drink without Texas bourbon. You can make it with, you know, Kentucky bourbon, whatever it may be. But I specifically wanted to utilize flavors and things from Texas, you know, for Kate. I'm making this drink for Kate. Which is why jalapeno is a big deal. That's why grapefruit is in there. It's all these ingredients. I think I might have been in a Discord call with somebody when I made this. I can't remember, but I snapped because, like, a lot of these things together, you wouldn't, like, look at a recipe and be like, I want to put grapefruit juice and fig and jalapeno, like, in bourbon. Like, that's not a, no. Remove the bourbon, put tequila, put vodka. That seems like a more logical drink, but in this, it was just like, we're going to go bold and we're going to balance out, and it just all works so beautifully. And while we're at this point, I will say, because I didn't bring it up at all, and I bring it up in every drink video I make, and it's extremely important here. If you're trying to make drinks at home for yourself, make recipes, or just playing around, the biggest thing you can do, aside from just using good ingredients or using good liquors and liqueurs, is, I see Jacob McCourt looking at me because he knows what I'm going to say, is use fresh lime juice and use fresh lemon juice. Those two things will change fucking everything. Like, you do not understand. If you buy that little plastic lemon in the fucking produce department, no, that shit is trash. Don't put that in anything. Not even in an emergency. Do not use that. It's garbage. You can take the time to make something good for yourself or for someone else by slicing the lemon, slicing the lime, and juicing it. It's very easy to do, and it will change the way you eat and drink.
And you can use the peel as a garnish.
And you could do that too. You could use the whole thing.
I will say another, like, a fun fact for Lara Croft that, like, makes me realize, oh yeah, this is my hero, is she was originally supposed to be South American and named Laura Cruz. And so I think that that also ties very well with this drink too. And I don't know if you knew that.
Again, I'm so big brain, it's ridiculous. This one is like a personal favorite. Like this, I drink a lot of bourbon, so like this is, I'll go home and I'll, like this is a good, nice sipper. Like this is a, you could pair this with anything. This is a good tasty drink. Are we ready for the finale, the sicko shit?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, let's do it.
So, and I will say one thing, because I brought up the, before we jump into Jesse's, because it will kind of tie into that, but not really. Fresh lemon and lime juice, big deal. Are you going to squeeze a fucking grapefruit to make a drink? Probably not, but you can buy 100% grapefruit juice, and it's good. You can probably buy 100% lemon and lime juice, but that little plastic thing is not that, so do not do that.
No concentrate.
No, you don't want that. And like with stuff like jalapenos, like you can use a pickled jalapeno in the right drink, but you don't want to add that brine, that salt. Like, there's things in there you don't want to add unless you are specifically trying to add those flavors. So, like, use fresh whenever you can. The jalapeno in this drink and all the other ones that have jalapeno are going to bring a certain earthiness, a certain greenness that you're not getting in that pickled thing. And that's, like, little shit. Like, if you're not making a lot of drinks on your own and you're just trying to experiment and dance around in those places, you'll find the things that work and the things that you like to drink, and you'll find things that are better than what I'm making. So if this is like of interest to you, I would highly recommend playing around with that stuff. I will also say too, like, it is very easy to make a lot of this stuff with or without alcohol. Like, mm-hmm. You can absolutely, with Ken's drink, you can just add vodka or gin to, or even tequila. You can probably add everything but bourbon into that drink. And it would be good. So you can play around if you don't like to drink and you want to just make delicious beverages for yourself. That's also an option. There's also, at this point, there are so many people that don't drink. There are so many alcohol substitutes at this point that can substitute the flavors, the botanicals of gin, vodka, bourbon, tequila, everything. Like, there is a substitute for that. So whether you're trying to drink less or not drink at all, but you still want to make fun shit and get some of those flavors, that stuff exists. So before we go to Jesse's slide, you are going to see flavors and see ingredients and say, why? But I promise you, you can take their word for it, that it's good.
So let's talk about this one. All right. So everyone has kind of been saying these beautiful things about their video games and how they have such a way with words. My game's about sucking up ghosts. I don't got shit going on here. However, this is not, we alluded to it earlier, but this is not the first iteration of this beverage. Brendan had a completely different other drink involved, and then randomly one night, as an aside, I had mentioned that I like picklebacks and I like pickle juice, and Brendan changed the whole cocktail.
It was like two nights before PAX. I was like, nah, fuck this.
And none of this should work.
It really shouldn't.
But it does, and that's the fascinating part about this. It's just, first of all, it looks great. That's exactly what I want to be drinking when I'm looking at some ghosts in Luigi's Mansion. Just this disgustingly neon green thing that it's like, yeah, that's probably what a liquid ghost would look like, I guess. But realistically, like, Luigi's Mansion, it's Resident Evil, right? But it's Luigi. And the things I love about Resident Evil are, like, you get a mastery of a space, right? You think of Resident Evil 2, you think of the police department, and how you just learn that space over the course of a couple of hours, and you just absolutely master it top to bottom. You do that in Luigi's Mansion with the mansion. You learn the space top to bottom. And it's, like, this really fascinating little, like, area that Nintendo went into. And I think 2 and 3 lose something when you kind of have, like, 2 has, like, the multiple mansions. It's a whole mess. But there's something very special about that first Luigi's Mansion. And just the weird swing that Nintendo decided to go for with the GameCube. And I think it kind of encapsulates the GameCube. And then Brendan made this monstrosity.
I was so mad that you wouldn't let me make you a Gooigi drink. Because okay. I would have made the thickest... most fucking viscous thing. I would have had to bring a fucking blender here.
Let's talk about this. I want to poll the room for a minute. Who likes Gooigi? Yeah!
Hey. Y'all motherfuckers is liars.
That's crazy.
Gooigi. Gooigi.
But would you want to drink him?
Would you drink Gooigi? Yeah.
You would. That got way weirder than I thought it was going to get.
You're not wrong. It is kind of a Jell-O shot if you were to drink Gooigi.
Oh, no. A Jell-O shot is too firm. Gooigi's soft.
He does kind of like go play. Through the like the grates and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's going through grates. Ugh. Don't you worry.
No. Y'all are sickos. Remember I said about the frico? Gooigi's a frico, certified.
Is Gooigi Italian, or does it not count?
We don't claim him.
Okay.
Yeah, no, for sure. Gooigi's out. Yeah, I mean, like, what do you say about this? It's a drink that has vodka, banana liqueur, and pickle juice, and is garnished with a strawberry. That shit shouldn't work.
It doesn't work, but it does at the same time.
It definitely does. Like, you taste the pickle juice in this. And
oh, yeah.
I think, and I said this to you, is that I think pickle juice is honestly an underrated ingredient for a mixed drink. Mm. Picklebacks, yeah, yep. That should held me down for a very long time. A lot of people are like, yo, you chase Jameson with pickle juice. I'm like, yes. No, I'm not doing that. And then I did it. I'm like, yo, y'all was on something here. But the thing is, do you taste the pickle juice in this drink so strongly, but everything else kind of blends with it so well to where it's like, yeah, I'm drinking pickle juice.
Yeah.
This shit's good.
But you're drinking pickle juice while also smelling banana.
Yeah, I think the smelling it's crazy. Banana yes. was the weird part.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are my taste buds broken? Yeah.
This drink fucked me up. I was so confused.
This is, yeah.
Like, because I love pickle juice and everything, but this, it was that. It was the smell and taste not matching. Mm. My brain was like, you like pickle juice, but do you like this? What is happening? And then I kept drinking more, and I was like, oh, yeah, this slaps. But, like...
I'm not biased. I mean, I totally am. But if you're going to make one drink from this panel, I feel like you got to try this. I know it's crazy, but, like... You have to try it to understand it. And it's like, well, but we could shout it from the rooftops. But, like, the spicy banana...
That's fire.
Shit works.
It wasn't as spicy as Kate's drink.
No.
By design.
It still had a little bit of a kick.
Yeah.
So
you could put spicy pickle juice in it. You could swap out the types of pickle juice.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. You could swap the pickles out. 100%.
I will say.
Grillo's hot pickle.
Hot pickle.
Dill pickle. Like, there's a difference between pickle. I'm big into pickles. Hey, yo. But, like.
All right, the next 10 minutes is fermentation. Let's go.
You have to use dill pickle juice, though, right? Because if you use the wrong pickle juice, that shit's going to taste different.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful. If you can try this, make sure you get the right kind of pickle juice.
So I am curious, though, because I hadn't looked, but, like, we have the same amount of muddled jalapeno.
Yep.
Like, why was mine a kick in the chest? And it was like, who doesn't?
I think it's because yours had a little bit of seed in the bottle. So I think it was, because we made them Wednesday, we drank them last night. Yeah. I think it just got a little hotter.
Well, that's what I'm gonna make it ahead of time, let it sit. And
yeah,
I was not complaining. I was just like, ooh.
Plus jalapenos are like super, like a jalapeno, any pepper really is like, you can't always gauge how hot it's gonna actually be. Yeah. So there's always variances. With the spicy banana, like I wanted to get And I hate pickle juice. Like, I don't eat pickles. I fucking hate pickles. Boop. Jesse brought up the pickles. I was like, we got to make this happen somehow. The first version of the pickle version of this drink that I made, I tasted it. And my partner likes pickles. So I was like, you need to taste this. I need to know if you think this tastes good, because I think this is god-awful. And she sipped it, and she was like, no, there's something wrong with that. And part of it was I had put, like, I was so scared to put pickle juice in it because I didn't want to drink it. I was like, I don't want to make this drink and then drink it.
At what point did you think you were on the wrong track?
when you sat on it?
I have never been on the right track. I put like a quarter ounce of pickle juice in there because I was like, I just want to put it so I can, it's in there. But like, I don't want to taste it. I don't want to drink this. It's just funny that it's there. But it did not work. It didn't balance with the banana. It didn't, like, it, because there's ginger beer in this drink, and depending on the ginger beer you use, that's going to also bring a little bit of spice to it, and that's what I wanted. But it just, like, it didn't balance well with all the other ingredients, and it tasted like banana, which I was like, I like banana, but I don't like this pickled banana. But when I upped the pickle juice, which is what I was, like, worried about doing personally because I didn't want to drink it, I'm making, like, 7 drinks in my house. I'm by myself, like, yeah. These recipes are going crazy.
Oh, here comes the strain of the green.
I got it down.
Look at that electric green.
Well, that looks so frothy, like, in the video.
So, and here's a little bit of the difference between what we drank and, like, obviously making them here is, like, what I discovered I was not aware of. I like drinks that give you a good head. I like drinks that, like, have a good froth, have Jesus. Good body on there. So I realized that because probably the salt content of the pickle juice, when you shake it up, it gets a nice little bit of body, and that actually makes this drink even better. Like, you got the 2-day-old version. It was in the fridge, but and it had pickle juice in it. It's fine. You could drink that in 2 weeks. You'd be good. It all works so well. The banana, too, like you had all said, you don't taste the banana that much. You just get a very subtle sweetness from the banana, which kind of balances the other flavors. But then you smell it, and you're like, what am I doing? Part of the banana thing, because the banana has always been a part of Jesse's drink. The pickle stuff is what changed everything, is blame it on Sakurai. Sakurai in Smash Brawl, if you do the Snake Codex shit, he calls Luigi the king of second bananas. So Luigi, to me, is always the king of second bananas. Your original drink was the king of second bananas.
The king of what bananas?
Second bananas.
Okay.
Not sucking bananas.
Okay.
What do you think Sakurai's doing?
I don't know. It was very confusing to me.
It's a family video.
Ken's like, I'm going to play Smash.
I was going to say, that's how you get me started. With Luigi? I mean, come on.
The last thing about this drink that I personally like is, because it's supposed to be a boo, cool. I cut the strawberry into a heart, so it's like, in Luigi's Mansion, you're sucking the ghost.
Yeah,
and you gotta suck that heart out. You gotta suck the heart out. If they're not sucking the heart out, like, what are they actually sucking?
Ayo.
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 And now you can drink it.
Yes. Now you can drink.
We all gave you a game, and we all gave you a little descriptor. The only thing I gave Brendan was the name of the game and you do you, king. And apparently this is what it generates.
Yes, yes. Yeah. If you put this into the whatever, not AI machine.
That was your panel. We talked
this.
About that.
Fuck AI. AI can't do this.
We only put AI in our
hands. Sometimes there are robots that bartend. They're not very good at it, but they exist.
They can't taste shit. They don't know.
They don't know. I don't know. I just really want to drink all these now. Like, that's the biggest downside is I'm sorry, you're probably thirsty or want to suck off a ghost.
Look,
that's what's up.
We got time?
I just wanted to say, Brendan's not done, in my opinion, the adequate job of promoting himself here because he did all this.
That's not what it's about.
But he also, if you go to Pass the Controller, the YouTube channel, you'll find several other game-themed drinks on the channel that you can also make on top of these. And it's like such a cool thing. Like, as a person that doesn't drink, it's such a cool thing to see the artistry behind it, even if I'm not going to drink it myself, because obviously. And I like you just showcased it in 5 drinks here, but there are several others online that y'all can look into. What are some of the games that you have made some for? Final Fantasy VII Rebirth?
Yeah, so the stuff that I put online lately is mostly, like, current games. So I did a reviewed Rebirth, did a drink for Rebirth. So if you want to make the Lifespring, you can go make that. But I made one for Sea of Stars. If you haven't played Sea of Stars, stop what you're doing and go play Sea of Stars.
Play Before Your Eyes first, and then you can get that.
Yeah, play before it's much quicker.
90 minutes.
Is that how long?
90 minutes.
Okay.
I've been telling people that for 3 years now.
I make a bunch of drinks. It's all about having a good time. I just want, like, part of that whole idea is spawned by, like, I want to be able to have that one-to-one experience, and I can't have it. So, like, if one person makes the drink, I feel like I have that little bit of a connection. Mm-hmm. Someone came up to me at PAX, actually, and was like, I made your drink. I'm like, no, you fucking didn't. Like, but they said they did, and I appreciated it. It's a weird feeling of, like, why, but also, thank you.
Because they're good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
It's beautiful. You got to give yourself more credit, Brendan.
Yeah.
You're doing...
Yeah,
and it's not about me. I will do it in front of the entire crowd.
It's not about me. But we go...
All right, we got 5 seconds left.
Yeah, 5 seconds.
So...
We got 2 seconds.
Okay.
Shit.
Panel's over. Let's go.
Panel's over, but there are...
Follow all these people. All interact with these people. Oh, they're all fantastic. Sure. They're amazing. Amazing. Thank you for doing this.
And reminder, there are nice printed out cards or sheets of paper that have all the recipes that we went over today. So y'all come get some.
Yeah. If you want to get recipes,
we got
them. Thank you.
And real quick, Brendan, where can people find these online?
Coffee and a drink.
Hey, Brendan, where can people find these online?
Go to pastthecontroller.io or search at Jesse Vitelli on Twitter.
He'll do not contact me.
Yeah, contact Jesse.
Hey.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.